Hi, Steve Gilmore. This is the Gilmore Gang. Danny, you're a little dark. What can I tell you? No, that's worse.
Keep going. I'll make it better.
Okay, excellent. So, this is the Gilmore Gang. On my left is from CloudBlog and Salesforce, John Toshak. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Steve. Happy Friday.
On my right is Kevin Marks.
Hi there. In rainy San Jose.
And you're not at Ribbit headquarters anymore.
I'm at home, yes.
Okay. To his right, to my semi-center, is Robert Scoble. Welcome, Robert.
What's up? I just got a new toy.
Am I brighter now?
Yeah, that's better. And the missing voice is in the middle is Danny Sullivan. Welcome, Danny.
Thanks. Can you not see my video?
No, it's great now.
Oh, excellent. I have an iPad, too, also.
You got one of those new L.A. haircuts, too.
And I've been using it for the past week, so there, Robert.
But mine is one of the first ones to have my name etched on the back.
Oh, I didn't do that because, you know, it's going to get inherited down the line.
Because you wanted it faster, didn't you?
Well, no, I picked it up at South By, so I was in the store. I was in the line. I was there where the iPads were flowing into the streets for all the geeks. It took me 15 minutes. There were iPads for everyone. In fact, when I got off the airport in Austin, they handed out iPads.
At the airport?
They did. They were just handing them to you. Steve Jobs was actually there. He was saying, welcome to my world.
That's what the etching looks like, by the way.
Okay, so our resident holdout is Kevin Marks, who, of course, has still got one of those fabulous...
Here's my the little folder thing.
Honeycomb tablets.
Nope, not got one of those either.
You don't have anything.
Thunderbolt, 4G.
Yeah.
4G.
Okay, well...
Let's just do one-upmanship on gadgets today. I'm ready.
There is no one-upmanship. There's you have the iPad 2 or you don't. I do.
How do people not... They're all out of stock everywhere. Is that the problem?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they had plenty... They had plenty in Austin. They would probably still have them out there.
No, they were sold out. When I went by the store, they were sold out.
When'd you go?
Sunday or something like that.
All right. Well, you know, I guess the gravy iPad 2 train had to run down. It's terrible, too, because now millions of people will be unable to get something that's exactly like the iPad 1.
But did you guys get your dock connectors, too?
No.
Hey, well...
I did buy this stupid
Are there two of them? What's the second one for? Component?
One's a dock connector to VGA adapter, just in case you need to go to VGA.
Yeah, why would you?
Because I'm speaking at TEDx, and I might want to use my iPad to do my demos.
I thought TEDx was all about the technology revolution, and they were caught up to late 19th century technology.
Well, that's why I have the HDMI connector, too, just in case.
Well, that's the one I have. I don't have this other nonsense cable.
Well, you never know. It was $30, so I figured I'd order it and have it in my bag just
next
in case.
Next time, give me the $30. And
I have a feeling you don't need the $30.
I can always use $30. Believe me. My daughter's iPhone 4 was stolen out of her backpack on a bus yesterday.
Oh, no.
While she was wearing the backpack.
See, so, Apple promotes crime in our society.
Did you have the
so does
the
Google.
Find Your iPad iPhone feature turned on?
Yeah, and of course they,
they turn it off.
They pulled the SIM in about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, no, it was a professional job.
Yep, that's $600 gone.
Right, so next time that you're going to get a useless cable, give me the money. Okay, so Danny, you've been At South By.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty hip.
Gotta say
South
it that
By
way.
What?
I learned last year.
Yeah, what does it mean? South By...
South By Southwest. It's just the hipster way of calling it. You gotta go South By. Oh, yeah. Is that South By?
And so do you have... Are you in a hipster group on Facebook that where you congeal to discuss your latest hip...
There is. I'm in a special forum of 30 people, and right now we're all talking about the post that we're going to do on how South by Southwest has gone up or down or changed, or I'm over the it's all over, you know, any number of variations. We're almost like a demand media blog post about South by Southwest. Any variation of what you could say about that event, that's being written right now.
Yeah.
There
must be a talent.
I'm not with the hipsters.
Oh, I'm sorry. I actually believed you.
No. Robert is probably with the hipsters.
No, I had South by SARS for the last day, so I couldn't write my famous post.
So it didn't seem like anything went on at South by Southwest.
A lot of drinking went on.
Yeah.
And barbecue.
Like I said. Barbecue. No, seriously. The winners of the marketing contest seemed to be nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard of Foursquare. I heard of Groupon.
One app came out called Local Mind, which is pretty cool.
This is the one that you almost showed last week.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Lucky us. We're going to see it now, right?
Yeah, there didn't seem to be any, you know, it was only my second year, so I wasn't there when apparently everybody was all with Twitter about Twitter. That was, what, 2007?
Yeah.
Is that 2007? And then 2008, everybody was all Foursquare about Foursquare, right?
Yeah.
Foursquare. So 2009, or I got my years wrong, don't I? It was 2008 was Twitter, wasn't it?
Yeah. The real problem is that the old South By used to be, you know, 1,000 people or something, and you could actually meet most of the people in the conference, and we're all in one place. Now they've spread the conference out across the town. I didn't even visit the conference center until I think Monday.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, and so the conference it's become spring break for geeks, and it's just a big networking fest now. It's different than it used to be, and that's okay.
Well, I mean, it was a nightmare. I went out for the first session. It was like on social TV, and we I could see that it was happening, and it was at this hotel, and I thought, oh, okay, there's the Austin Convention Center, and then a lot of the events last year also were happening in the, is it the Hilton across from the Convention Center?
Yep.
But directly across from it, so it's easy to get to, right? No problem. So I looked at this one, I thought, oh, it must be at one of these other hotels that are all scattered around the area that's very close to get to. But no, it was at the Hyatt, and it was not easy to get to. You had to go, like, across the river and through the woods, and I was in the middle of a St. Patrick's Day parade by the time I found a cab to get over there. Seriously. And so I arrive, and it's like 15 minutes late, and I arrive 15 minutes late, okay, you know. Bad on me. I guess I should have gotten moving even sooner, but I didn't realize it was so far away. Then I get there, and there's like 50 people out the room waiting to line up to go into this other session because the room seemed to be too small, and everybody else was complaining that they had no idea all this great session was off in basically the boondocks.
Yeah.
And it was funny, though, because then there was a rebellion. I think it was Jennifer Pressman from the New York Times, like, led a rebellion of people in the line to start their own session. Because she actually had people in the line who were as qualified as the people on the panel to talk about TV and social. They had people from, you know, CNN and MSNBC and ABC and so on. So we went off and had our own little roundtable, which was pretty interesting. But that's one of the things I've seen people complaining about coming off of the show, which was there were so many people there. It was so spread out that it was really difficult to, you know, get from one place or to the other. But, you know, I enjoyed the things I got to, so...
Keep talking.
Oh, okay. It's weird on my end because the video's all frozen. I don't understand what's happening, and I'm getting warnings about my Wi-Fi network, and I could go onto the Windows machine, but that would just crash. And
no, I mean, it looks fine from here.
Oh, so, good, okay.
I can see you even, which is very strange because usually it's frozen for me. So,
I don't know. I could keep talking about the whole thing. I could talk for ages. I think the highlight for me was really the Bleco party. They were partnered up with two other companies, and I'm terrible because I can't remember the names of them now, but they had an Ashton Kutcher visit, which is, you know, the highlight of anybody's South By experience. He came with Mrs. Ashton, and I could watch this whole thing unfold in front of me because there was a projector between me and Ashton, and nobody would stand in front of this projector, so I just got to watch the receiving line form. And then what was interesting was Kevin Rose had come in a few minutes earlier, and normally he'd have been swamped, right? Because he's running Dig, and but nobody bothered him.
Because nobody cares, because Dig is, you know.
Well, I mean, and then there was this article that's out today about how even Kevin's not digging stuff on Dig. Arrington had written, so.
Yeah, well, you know, when Mike comes in for the coup de grace, you know it's over.
I am Michael Arrington. I will be writing your obituary today.
Danny, for a microsecond on was it Monday or Sunday? It seemed like that there was going to be real news at South By with the Google Circles.
Oh, yeah. Google Social Circles is rocking in, man. It's going to be announced because they are doing a party with the ACLU, and privacy is important. Therefore, it should be happening. But no, there's...
I think Marshall joined a bit too
early. It got exciting, and some people said we were so desperate to have something come out of that show that we would seize upon anything.
Yeah.
Well, while all of this nothing was going on the East Coast, everybody is actually implementing the business models that haven't yet been discovered. Like the New York Times, for example.
You see, I like tweeted the New York Times business model as if it were a toll road. Hi, we're the New York Times. Now to get to us, you'll have to drive on this toll road.
However,
we will allow anybody on the toll road to drive it for free if you are in a carpool, or you're on a motorcycle, or you're driving an RV, or you're driving a hybrid, or you're driving any kind of car that was manufactured since 1965.
They've implemented.
That's kind of like the Bay Bridge, isn't it?
They've implemented a no-fly zone, basically, and they're going to force down all of the freebie, open standards guys like Kevin, and then everybody's going to pay up.
No, it's so wide open. You're being sarcastic, right?
No, I'm not. Everybody's going to pay up.
Do you want to read anything from the New York Times for free?
Kindergarten is over, kids.
It's not. You want to read anything from the New York Times for free?
Didn't they do this like 4 years ago?
I'm going to totally pay for it. The damn iPad app is frozen right now. It's not updating. There's a war going on, or at least several, and I'd like to know what's happening. So would they please give me something where I can plug in my money? I want the money. I want it to start. I want the iPad app to go back more than 24 hours. I'll buy it. $15 a month? Are you kidding? $20 a month?
Have you used the website?
I don't use the websites. The web is like the old thing. I mean, we've established this on previous shows. I know you've been on vacation, Danny, but...
Oh, that's right. It's been declared. I just saw the... Sorry, it just hit my email box, which is even deader than the web.
I actually agree with Steve. Feedly was here yesterday showing me a new iPad app, and it's one of those apps. There's more innovation going on in news apps right now in the next couple months than I think we've seen in a long time.
That's not saying much, Robert.
Well, there's stuff going on in news aggregators that's really cool. I can't see you spending money for a single news source anymore. Down my screen is Twitter bringing me the news. Why do I need to go to the New York Times? The New York Times comes to me because all my friends bring it to me, and then these new aggregators are going to filter it and bring me the highlights.
Yeah, so how's it going to work with the paywall, the New York Times paywall?
New York Times is not going to get distribution.
No, that's not true.
No, they're getting plenty of distribution.
There's this little
Steve Gilmore, first of all, there was the loophole that TechCrunch wrote about, right? So Steve Gilmore's going to pay his $20 a month. What's that?
If you come in on Facebook and Twitter, you're in.
Evidently, the
New York Times has realized that RSS is dead, and they are going to these Facebook and Twitter aggregators, which are dominating and which will continue to. And every single one of those is going to get a thank you and please, you are not the droid I'm looking for.
But it's not just Twitter and Facebook. It is any link.
Any link. Write a blog. Link to them. You'll get it. All Things D. Peter Kafka had a great thing today. He's like going, anything will let you in. In fact, it's ironic that they're even trying to do the whole Google Five thing links, because any link from Google is a link.
So all we need is one of our friends to pay the $20 a month and then share all the cool links with us. And
you don't even need that. It's not like you can't see the links, right? The links are all there. You just can't read the article.
Do you understand?
So I'm
going to
just read Steve and I'm going to get all the cool stuff from the New York Times.
Do you know how Microsoft...
So does the...
Do you know how... Hang on a second, Kevin. Kevin, I have to make my incredible point.
Sorry, let's get one word.
Making money.
And then we'll go to the Marx Gang or Trembler or whatever your show's called. What's your show called?
Tumblevision, dear boy.
Thank you. Sorry. That was a British reference. So,
knee trembler, right?
Yeah. See, now you've made me lose my incredible point. Oh, I know what it is. You see how this works? The way Microsoft distributed Office worldwide was to have it stolen by everybody, to the point where they couldn't stand, you know, Office, you know, 1947, at which point they upgraded and paid a very cheap price, which, oh, by the way, also wiped out Lotus and WordPerfect and several other companies. And then there was this monopoly. So what is Twitter and Facebook and the New York Times, what are they conspiring to do? They're going to let everybody in for free, just like always, and occasionally they're going to find somebody who they think is using this, you know, inordinately often, like Dave Weiner or somebody, and they're going to put up a little sign saying, hey, pay up. And
yeah,
he and I and many other people will pay up. So there's,
yes,
it's found money. It's like free money that comes in.
It is. So, they have managed to recreate the AOL strategy of still charging people for access that don't know any better. Woohoo.
What do you mean, don't
I mean,
know
you're
any
right.
Better?
They're going to get,
if you come through a social media link.
No, any
which
link.
Is the.
Any link. Any link.
Okay.
Not a social media link.
I buy
any
it.
Link.
Fine.
I know, but that's the only place
fine.
We get
fine. Why is it fine?
It's no,
fine.
No, I agree with you. I think that's an incredible point.
Steve, you are right. You are the target audience. You are loyal to the New York Times. You want to read the New York Times. You will pay the convenience to have it all organized
I've been
for
paying
you.
The
and
convenience
actually,
to.
That is well worth. That is well worth paying for. If you love totally. The publication that much, having it organized for you is a value.
I just don't
that's
want the
newsprint. That's the reason why it's worth paying to have, you know, a newspaper delivered to you. You actually, it's not that it's old, it's organized.
I don't like having the newspaper delivered to me. First of all, you get piles of newspapers, which, since there's, you know, we do have dogs now, so we could use it instead of pee pads. But other than that, it has no innate value. After
you.
About 10 minutes before it gets to my doorstep.
Or you, other people, you know, I've said this before, if you went back when the Daily Show was saying, so I'm getting this day-old news from the New York Times, why would I bother with it? Because I watch day-old television content that gets recorded, and I pay money for that.
I do too, but I watch it on the iPad now. I don't get newsprint on my fingers.
I don't
have to cart out the trash.
I don't have to
call them up because the local distributor decided to go on vacation for the rest of his life, and all of a sudden it didn't stop showing up. None of that stuff.
I'm not arguing,
in the iPad. It goes boing,
I'm not arguing whether or not one delivery mechanism is better than the other. I'm saying
why
that.
Why not? Isn't that what we're talking about?
No, we're not. I'm not. I'm
okay.
saying that, yes, there is a value for you to pay to have money where you can get everything bundled up and delivered to you.
Correct.
On your iPad. In the same way that other people find it's worth a value to have everything bundled up and delivered to them online. But what I'm saying is...
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, there are people who clearly do have value in that because they still take the New York Times. There's no question there are people who still find value in that. Whether you think they're insane is a whole other argument. But there is value that some people find in actually getting a hard copy newspaper delivered to them.
Very
I'm
little.
I'm one of them. I get two of them per day. But
I used to get, for 40 years or so, I got them every day. The Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and even the San Francisco, quote, newspaper.
The point is that the New York Times is betting that their new paywall
will cause more people to decide there's some value in a digital subscription.
Absolutely, and they're right, and
question,
it will.
And the question is, who the hell are those people? Because most of the people you would think that they'd want to get, they're excluding from all these things like, well, you can come from Twitter, you can come from Facebook, you can come from whatever. So they seem destined to get a little bit of more incremental income, sure. Whether or not that little extra incremental income is going to make up for the fact that they are going to lose much larger amounts of money as print continues to decline and as online advertising continues to be undervalued.
Online advertising, online advertising, aka the web, is going to be undervalued. What is going to be valued is a social clouds of influence that radiate outwards and tell people which of the articles in the New York Times they're going to be interested in.
Right. Which, I mean, that is what they're valuing because that's what they're letting you in free for, whereas they're billing you iPad a lot.
They're letting you in free. I mean, when we went off to war in World War I, they gave soldiers free packs of cigarettes, a carton of cigarettes.
But
they got overseas. They were addicted. They came back and... You know, as long as they lived smoking.
Well,
if you think
that the New York Times content is so unique as to be so addictive that the only way people who occasionally have a puff of it when one of their friends offers them one of many cigarettes in a pack that's made up of the war coverage, everything else.
The Libya coverage, the Libya coverage, and the Japan coverage is superior to any other. News outlet that I can see.
I know, but Steve, I saw that on Flipboard, and I'm going to see it on the new Feedly when it comes out. The aggregators bring me a lot more. What Danny's point is, the aggregators bring me a lot more than just the New York Times. Why would I just buy the New York Times and only have access to the New York Times? Why not just get Flipboard, which is free, and you get everything? I mean, I have a Twitter list with 300 news sources, including the New York Times in it, and you can put that into Flipboard, and now you have a newspaper.
I'm willing
of the world.
Pay for the two major news sources, national newspapers. I'm not willing to pay for USA Today. Toshak, you had an experience with USA Today in the recent past, right?
Oh, I read it.
Yeah.
That was my experience.
Was
in
there
my
anything
hotel
in
room.
It?
Yeah, I think that I used to enjoy reading USA Today because it had a little infographic, and sometimes the news was kind of, you know, it's light enough for a hotel if you're tired and, you know, the next morning reading it at breakfast or something like that. But I did read it in Boston, and there's not one compelling article
exactly.
In the entire paper.
So we're down to two national newspapers, and I'm willing to pay for both of them. Absolutely. Okay. And I'll bet 500,000 people will be.
Well, what are the two?
The New York Times and the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. Wait, well, what are their national circulations right now, Steve?
I don't know. Don't care.
Well, no,
I'm
you
just telling
care
you
because...
that as soon as the Wall Street Journal iPad app came out, I no longer had any reason whatsoever to buy a print copy of that paper. I don't even get to look at it. It comes online, first of all, at midnight on the West
Coast. Well,
you're
betting that there's 500,000 people in the United States who are willing to pay.
No, I'm not betting it. They're betting it.
No, that's what you said. Oh, there's 500,000
people. But they're admitting that the paper version has negative value, right? Because they will send it to you and give you a discount on the version you actually want. So they're literally saying it's negative value to you.
But look, Wall Street Journal, $99 a year, I get it delivered to me 6 days a week, and I have access to everything online. That was a no-brainer.
Exactly. And,
but that's what I'm saying, but that's less than they charge you for the app, right?
No, it's not. They include the app. They include the iPad app, I believe.
No, that's what I said. They include the iPad app with the paper, but...
But what Kevin's saying is that it's if you buy only the online version, it's more expensive. It's $10 a month, right? So it's
it's less expensive. I have the online version, which I started buying about 5 years ago. I'd never go there, so it had, you know, minimal value. Then they gave away the iPad app for free, at which point I started using that, and I haven't stopped. It's fantastic, as Scoble is showing you. You can get through it much faster than you can through the paper version. You can store and save and forward and tweet, thereby, you know, the format's going to be...
And what does that tweet link to?
The format's going to be that you use the New York Times iPad app to tweet the articles that you like, at which point all your friends can read it for free.
Why?
So the iPad I can just go see what somebody tweeted once and just retweet it.
I
don't even need to go to the New York. I don't need a New York Times app to tweet a New York Times article. I tweet Wall Street Journal articles that I read in the print newspaper. I like read an article at lunchtime in the print newspaper. I come back in and then I tweet it. I was just about to do that one about
that makes you 9 hours behind, man.
Why?
Because paper's 9 hours old.
No, it's not.
At minimum.
No, it's not.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal.
No, paper is 9 hours old. By default.
Tomorrow's Wall Street Journal.
Have you ever visited a printing plant, man? It's 9 hours old news.
So
here's how it works,
Danny.
Just since I know you're not watching.
The article I read on the Wall Street Journal about the etiquette of sitting in a middle seat on an airplane was 9 hours old.
Well, it was 9 hours old. You could have seen it online 9 hours ago.
Or I could have missed it in all of everything that was going on. But instead, I had it recorded on paper so that when I was conveniently ready to read it while eating my sandwich, it was there for me.
I picked up a paper on the airplane. It was all the news I read yesterday. It's like, wow, this is really fun. I get to read everything again that I read yesterday on my iPad.
I mean, it's just ludicrous. You know, you no longer have to think about what you have to pick up and carry with you in one arm. It can't be too big or else they're going to say that it's on, you know, it's baggage and you know, you have to pay $50 for all the stuff that you're carrying. And you don't have to think about any of that anymore. It's right here.
Yeah.
It's all right here. Even if I didn't know about it because it just happened 2 minutes ago, it's right here. The Wall Street Journal app has this, it has today's print paper and then right next to it, it has what's happening now. Now, as you go through the day, what's happening now is tomorrow's Wall Street Journal. So yep. I've already read what you're talking about that you're going to read tomorrow. I'm reading it when I want to now.
Well, I want to read it tomorrow when I'm ready to read it and I have time. And if I'm online and I don't have
time. You need to prepare for it.
No.
Danny likes his paper. Just leave him alone.
No, it's not. It's absurd as saying that, gosh, you went to TechMeme on Saturday and people started buzzing about an article that actually came out on Friday that you've just discovered, but now I'm not going to read it and it was stupid because it was old.
Actually, TechMeme usually gets news within not, 5 minutes of it.
Robert,
of its release
have you ever
Twitter.
Had anything hit your Twitter stream? That was an older article that maybe was 6 or 7 hours
all
old.
All the time,
you didn't
thank
see
God.
The minute it yeah. came out.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, that's interesting.
No, you're making.
I see retweets from TechCrunch.
They come back in waves. Yeah,
you're making an absurd
all
argument,
is,
Danny.
If you're not talking about following breaking news, then
it doesn't matter. The real
Wall
reason I hate paper.
The Wall Street Journal has been nonsense to me for trying to keep up with Japan, for example. I mean,
the real reason I hate paper
accurate.
Is I hate taking out more recycling on Friday afternoon. And if I had paper, I'd have a stack of paper to take out.
I'm not saying to you guys that you have to go out and get print paper.
Do you have a fireplace?
I recognize.
Have you ever visited a printing plant and seen the waste?
I'm just saying the idea that the New York Times is definitely trying to get us at all with the iPad app. That'll be the way we will tweet their stories to then suck them into a cigarette enduring lifestyle of giving them $30 a month.
Totally.
Is a bit extreme.
Extreme, but also true.
No, I don't agree.
Oh, it's totally. I mean, you're in a mirage of denial.
Anyways, what's up with this Google Circles thing?
I disagree with you,
Danny. I know you've seen Google Circles. What the hell is it?
What's that?
Google Circles.
I don't know what Google Circles are.
Come on,
no, he's not prepared.
He's
not prepared to understand it yet. He needs to have it on the paper.
Oh, it's starting to get a little fuzz here. I don't know what I will tell you about.
So, in other words, you're not denying that you already know about it.
When I read about all that stuff when Google started going, I felt a bit sad for Marshall Kirkpatrick because Google came along and they said, no, we're not building any kind of social network. No, we don't have any plans to do that. Blah, 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 blah. And if you go back to when they launched Google Checkout, before that they kept saying, no, we're not launching a PayPal killer. No, it's not any kind of a thing. We might be looking at an alternative, new, innovative payment. It's like Google Checkout is a PayPal, right? That's what it's designed to do, go up against PayPal. And they will say, no, we're not doing something, and then they turn around and do it. It's just like when they launched Android, and they're like, we will never launch our own phone. We'll never do it. And then when they launched the Nexus One and they're being active, I thought you guys said you would never launch your own phone. Well, technically, we didn't build it in a Google plant.
Like, right. Well, okay, you're right. This is certainly not a Google phone.
I have my hand on the goal, so you can't tag me.
Right. So I think that when they protest that they're not trying to build a social network, they protest too strongly. I think they are trying to build a social
network.
Well,
we just need to frame... We need to reframe the question. The way you ask the question is, are you preparing to launch something which will be an abysmal failure, and how long will that take?
Yes.
They did. In the last couple of weeks, they did update the Google profiles, and I don't know.
So, Danny, you're saying
so
yes,
so they're doing
it's
it as a permeation thing.
Failure?
That's what they're doing. They're adding social features throughout the product line, not doing launching a social network, because that would make no sense. So what they're doing is following the original profile strategy, which was to make it fit everywhere within Google where it made sense to. It's just taken them a while to get it into different products. No Big Bang launch.
I yield to the senator from Great Britain.
That's not how it works.
The right honorable senator from Great Britain.
Connection loss. We lost Scoble. That's not a good thing.
Let's talk about the iPad support.
So, you know, Marshall joined up a bunch of things that didn't really join up, and that's why the sort of thing was a bit laughable. Obviously, the ACLU is not going to do a co-launch with a new Google product. They want to see it first. They want to make sure it, and then they'll comment on whether it's a good idea or not.
It's like, why would the ACLU do a co-launch on anything?
I mean, exactly.
It's not even the ACLU. It's the Northern California chapter of the ACLU.
Right.
I mean, it's part of the ACLU, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the good news is that they're supporting, you know, worthwhile causes. But other than that.
I totally agree in that I would never, ever launch something at South by Southwest, by the way. But, you know, that was a funny PR reply. We wouldn't launch into that kind of conference. And they're absolutely right. Even a Google couldn't pull
that off.
Right,
we wouldn't support, you know, ACLU. They're all communists.
they do their own event is the point.
Well, all the press people I know were out drinking and tired, and there's no way you're going to get good coverage when all the press people are drinking and tired.
Kevin, how come you, I mean, you've worked for Apple and Google. How come you're not as loyal to Apple as you were to Google?
Reasonably loyal to Apple. I used to use their laptops. I just don't.
He has white headphones. I see white headphones.
White headphones, yeah. Well, that's because I keep buying these. The damn dogs keep chewing them.
So your dogs support Apple, but not you.
I'm not a fan of the iPad. I'm not a fan of the iPhone. Neither of them quite do what they need for me.
Kevin, how can you fight the onrushing coming of history in that way? And survive as a human being.
Danny, you've come a long way. You realize, Danny, that these things are all, you know, available through some form of search, and you can go back.
What's that?
You realize that this show is available going back to your original position on the subject.
On the iPad?
Yeah, which was much more like Kevin's is today.
Yeah.
No comment.
I've noticed that my son, who got the iPad a year ago, is now always trying to scrounge a laptop so that he can do stuff.
Oh, please.
No, he is.
When Walt Mosberg...
I got the iPad instead of a laptop, and he keeps...
What does he do on the laptop that he needs a laptop for?
He writes essays and does Facebook stuff.
Okay, why don't you get him a Bluetooth keyboard for the iPad?
He's got one.
Because then it would be called a computer.
And why? So, what can he do on the laptop that he can't do with the iPad? What is it?
Have several windows open.
Have several windows at the same time.
That's what he's writing. When you're writing, you need to be referring to things. So he either has to have the laptop and the iPad.
I agree with that. I mean, look at all the glass I have here. I got two iPads, a Motorola Zoom, a Dell, two screens back here.
Watch TV or watch a play or something, but you won't use it to write an essay.
All right, so Toshek, anything else going on in the world besides the iPad?
Well, there's Japan, you know, but technology-wise,
there's a spacecraft in orbit around Mercury that's tweeting.
Really?
Excellent. Oh, that's interesting.
Messenger 2011.
I mean, you know, the problem is we have 500,000 apps and we can't figure out which one to talk about.
GarageBand. That's the one to talk about. That's the
I don't use that, although it looks cool.
It's amazing. I'm a hack musician, and it's just amazing what you can do with that $4.99 app. You know, it feels like I'm actually playing a guitar, or I do play piano.
That is good.
It's so, but to have it to do the fills and everything, it's just amazing. I gave it to my son last night for 15 minutes. I said, make a song. He's 8, by the way. And he did. He made a song and was singing to it, you know, 15 minutes later. It's unbelievable that that technology exists. There's,
I like,
you know, limit.
I like this app that just shows you pictures of national parks. Yeah. That's more my style compared to, you know.
No. So GarageBand is a good creative tool on iPad. I've said that before. The iPad's not a great text creation tool. It's a very good like visual or oral creation tool because it actually gives you a very plastic interface.
I would go back to what Danny said. Is how can you ignore even for a second the onrushing galactic, disruption of the iPad. When you say that it's not a creation tool,
I said it's not a text creation tool. I said it's a very good music creation tool.
I mean, it is incredible because I recently went through and pulled my stats because I was thinking I need to do more to make sure we're accessible to people using the iPad, and I thought I should get a good sense of how many people are coming to my website using it, and there was easily 1.25, if not 1.5% of the visitors coming on the iPad. And so I immediately tore down the entire site and rebuilt it so that it would be inaccessible to people using regular computers with actual keyboards that can do more than one thing because it was such a compelling device that so many people were viewing our content. I know that perhaps, you know, we're exceptional and some people might only be getting 0.5% to maybe 0.75% of their visitors off the iPad. But, you know, I'm sure that as soon as more apps come along to actually scrape all of our content and remove all of our ads off of it and give us nothing in return, it'll be a much better situation.
Oh, you mean RSS?
RSS does not strip my ads off of my site.
Do you have ads on your RSS stream?
I do not put out a full feed on RSS, so I do not have that problem.
Okay, well.
I was just showing you the Hipmunk app because I need to go to Amsterdam. And Hipmunk is a great way to buy it and to look for flights.
Yeah, Hipmunk's good.
But if you
works on the web, works nicely on my phones too. Sure, this needs to be an app.
Okay, well, I guess we've said that. So nobody has anything else to talk about.
Do you guys want to see a newspaper?
What's that?
Well, I got one around here somewhere. Look.
I've got a South by Southwest edition of The Guardian. That was interesting.
It even has technology news in it.
What's the headline?
Watch this. You can open it like this, see? And you have multiple stories are all displayed at the same time. And you can even zoom out to see more stories at the same time. And should you want to zoom into a story, well, you kind of do this, and you can do that, and then you can just sort of fold it like that, and you can get right in on top of a story.
Actually, you're violating middle seat etiquette.
But the best thing is, you know what? You laugh about this, but this is from February 2nd, and I shut the lid. It doesn't even have to use magnets. It just goes to sleep. And I tucked it in up here, and look at that. It's been over a month, and it's been up there, and it's still fully charged.
Yes, I got you beat, Danny. Here's a printing plate that printed your Wall Street Journal, and it's a lot of fun. Yeah. But you know,
well, I've got you guys beat because this is PC Magazine issue number 2, and you can see how thick it was back in and what year is this?
And you guys have got me beat because I was forced to throw out my bike magazines in 1973.
This is amazing. I can use this to draw on virtually any surface. If I don't like what I've written, I have this undo feature. I don't know if you can see it there. It's
announcing PC Junior. Here. Kevin, you might know this as a rubber. and you could just take things right off. Yes. It's remarkable. Remarkable. It uses graphite technology.
Danny, could you put that rubber back up? I think we missed the shot.
That's yeah.
I want to make sure everybody understands what you're saying because it is complicated.
The rubber part is right here. It's this little...
Thank
this little
you.
Bit right here at the end, it just slides right onto the end of something.
oh, jeez.
Yeah, and it prevents you from having errors. It allows you to correct any kind of errors that might happen. So now that we're in this gutter...
Some of us are looking at the
desperately
stars.
Desperately pull us back out.
Mercury.
I have no intention of pulling you out of this gutter.
So, well... I had breakfast with the Guardian squad who were at South By, and it was interesting to listen to
South
them.
By
they
what?
Said the Guardian newspaper. You heard of it?
No, I was. Everybody's saying South By. I don't understand it.
It's an abbreviation because SXSW is a bit of a mouthful. Anyway,
South By, baby.
Okay, I could just say in Austin, you know. Anyway, the point is they had sent a huge team there. I said, how did you manage that? And they said, well, we have more readers in America than we have in England now. If you look at the web readers for The Guardian, there are more in America than England. And covering South by Southwest makes a lot of sense for them. So that was interesting because they've sort of decided that they are a global newspaper. And you know, when you were saying there are two national newspapers, yes, but there are now international newspapers too. There is the Guardian, there's the BBC. There's, you know, the London Times and Telegraph too. They all have substantial U.S. readerships too.
Fair enough. And then there's everybody else, and all those organs, pardon the expression, are going to move to
Huffington Post.
Right, and they're going to be available, and
they're
most
available.
Valuable audience.
That's because they're on the web.
For them, will be available on the iPad. Thank you, and good night.
So. I think there's sort of two potential models here, right? And there's
potential. I would
there's
disagree.
There's the NP the NPR
inevitable
model.
Onrush.
There's one model. There's one model, and then there are some broken.
There's a model you insist they send you money, or you take things away from them. And given that NPR is having their state funding taken away, I bet they're going to emphasize, please send us money even more. I bet they'll get a great set of donations out of Congress suspending them.
What?
Or threatening to suspend them.
No, is there sarcasm here, or are you serious?
No, I'm serious. I'm serious saying that they will ask people for money, as they currently do.
Yes.
People say, yes, we will send you money. And they don't say, give us money or we'll cut you off. They say, please give us money so that other people can hear this wonderful thing that you like too.
No, they so say, please give us money so that we can stop begging for money.
It does work better when you
I experience them through podcasts, so it's the other way around, right?
Yeah, but those podcasts are supported by their begging channel.
They put a little peg at the end of the podcast or the beginning of the podcast, and they say,
please
send us money.
The podcast is not the product, the television product. Their access to our bandwidth, you know, the citizens' bandwidth that they have. They've got on FM, they have basically from 88 to like 90. They own
91.
They own that.
FM.
You can drive across this country and move from one public radio to another public radio station without
any
interruption.
And have no idea which show you're going to hear when. Yeah.
BBC Radio 2.
What's your point, Kevin?
My point is that they have a migration model from the please give us money on the radio to please give us money on the web. You're right. They have
it will migrate from please give us money on the web to please pay a subscription on the iPad.
Sure, they'll ask for that too.
And they will get the lion's share of their dollars.
Except that you
from
can
that medium,
it?
In spite of Danny's analysis of the number of iPad viewers of his site, this is in the process of tipping dramatically. It's not about numbers of people. It's about the revenue associated with the audience. The audience the revenue from the audience is shifting dramatically over to the tablet and particularly the iPad.
According to what?
According to the lines that I stood on for 6 hours.
You stood in lines to watch people buy a slightly improved version of something else.
It's not slightly improved.
Because they like to buy new things. It's slightly improved.
It's got two cameras
and it lost 100 grams. And it comes with a $70 leather cover.
I was able to let go of my assistant who was holding my iPad for me as a result of the new lightness.
I don't doubt there are more people owning iPads. My question was...
Why put this light thing that I've been carrying around for
a while? Which major media outlet is reporting that they're getting phenomenally huge amounts of income from application-based readers?
You know, here's the universe. Here's the Big Bang. 100 million years ago, right, or whatever it was. Boom.
Well, they've got to wait 100 million years for the New York Times to get some decent money off the iPad thing. They're not going to be around.
Every story... First of all, the major media is living off of iPad stories.
So what?
Okay, so they're getting a large portion of their revenue now from stories about the iPad. So they're already making
that are being not fed primarily on the iPad.
Hey, that so this is your strategy about going like on it so much. $30 million or something. Huh?
It's just all you have to do is go back, just rewind a couple of months when they said that the iPad didn't have flash, so it was dead.
Hey, I'll rewind 15 years. Why don't we rewind 15 years?
Because it's not going to take 15 years.
We can talk about. And in that revolution, suddenly people were able to access the internet and the web using web browsers and access content all over the place. And what has happened in that time? Well, we've had an explosion of new publishers. We've had new publishers come in who are actually profitable on the web. We've also had a lot of older publishers who still cannot manage to get the majority of their income to come into them from the web. Now, is it because they really didn't quite get to the advanced state of having a more closed market system where everything was available through the iPad and applications, and that everybody's only going to be happy if they can view anything that they like through an application that is completely independent of their web browser? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. I think that some publications will get some nice subscription revenues that start coming in because they have applications that are especially useful for their most loyal readers. But I think there's a huge number of people out there who can't bank their history on that or bank their future on that sort of thing. You know,
I think what's really going on is we're in a trillion channel world and we're not going to pay that much for one channel anymore.
Right.
I mean, I look at my Twitter coming through the stream right now. It's moving at about a tweet a second. Why would I subscribe to the New York Times? I have more than I can read. The same reason
that you send money to NPR or KQED
there are certain things that you value so much.
There are certain things that you value so much that
you will pay for them, either because you've got the guilt factor or because they've managed to convince you that there's some value in doing it. Either they've cut off some of the material, or they've bundled it in a nice way, or they've made it available for online, you know, tablet reading or whatever. But there are relatively few things like that.
Yep.
And we don't have pockets that go on forever. There's going to be an end to the number of things that we can subscribe to. Otherwise, everything we would watch on television would be charging the money that an HBO or a Showtime does. They don't. They get packaged up in other things. A lot of things don't try. And there are some people who are like, you know, I know it's hard to believe, but they're perfectly happy selling advertising and making money by showing it to as many people as possible. And they don't have to get there and go, well, just because somebody reads something online, they're a freeloader. To whereas when they read it offline for a price that was well subsidized by all our ads, we considered them a valuable customer. New York Times really wanted to do something, they'd give you the New York Times for free in your iPad application, and they'd come up with a much more clever way for you to be getting advertisements delivered to you.
Like what?
I don't know. More targeting, better ways to opt in, better ways to identifying who's going to read. I just don't.
Why don't you think they've been doing this already?
I do not get why an ad in the New York Times that I'm not going to see, that most people are not going to see, that most people are not going to care about, will cost more than an ad online. What's the logic in it? The logic in it is because you still have salespeople who are going to sell the stuff. You still have people. They have no incentive of saying, by the way, that thing I'm selling you, it's crap.
John, do you have any comment on what he just said?
I think there's a lot of truth to what Danny said, but it's overlooking the fundamental, you know, the tipping point that you were talking about of going into a new channel. And this new channel is something that's just going to it's a consolidator effect. It's not like one newspaper or one or web where you're getting a bunch of feeds. It's getting books. It's getting news. It's getting a browser in addition. It's getting and it's getting publications in the format that the publisher wants you to see them in, all in one place that you
and,
can carry around.
And television and film and music.
Right. It's
all of those
of it
industries
together.
In one place yep. at one
that's,
time.
That's thinner and lighter than one issue of it must be like one tenth this initial PC magazine that I was referencing. And that's the change. And so, yes, I agree with Danny on the other points where the web, I mean, I use the web for almost all my news and I don't need an app for Tech Meme. I don't need an app for TechCrunch. I mean, that's something I see available through the web. And I also use the web versions of Twitter clients and everything else. And I use search. So, you know, it's an additive effect. It's more. The iPad gives you a different channel.
Here's something I was talking with somebody from a Fortune 100 company. His thesis is advertising no longer works, and it's not going to work. The interruptive kind of advertising you put in people's face on TV, which I skip over. I was watching American Idol last night, and I just skip over all the ads, so I don't really even see the advertising. That's
American Idol is the ad.
Exactly. Well, the music ad that
you
they
didn't
do
skip
with,
over it.
I didn't skip over the Ford ad that they did with the contestants there. That was a great ad because it was part of the content. That's a new kind. But am
but
I going to
buy
it?
Content is an ad. It's an ad for, you know, these records and these tours that these musicians are going to do next year. That maybe not you, but a lot of people are going to go to.
Absolutely.
So,
but you look at
advertising does
crunch.
Work, and it will continue to work. I don't understand
why
you would think it doesn't.
Well, it's new kinds of advertising work. The interruptive.
So there's a great article.
One of the best. Let me just get a point out. One of the best talks at South By that I saw was, or one of the best new products was a new kind of iTrack reader, and there that was done by Y Combinator company, and they did this on TechCrunch. And other sites. And nobody looks at the ads over on the right. You know, they're looking at the eyes where you actually look. And you don't look at the ads anymore. The ads don't work. So we need a new kind of advertising. I mean, American Idol, you could say is an ad, but it doesn't feel like an ad to me, except for that Ford music video they did right in the middle. But we need a different kind of advertising. And his thesis was we need... trust-based advertising. We'll need the reason you think American Idol is an ad is we trust it. We see it went through a process. Those people were chosen out of 20,000 people, and you saw the process, and therefore you buy into the process, and you know that those people deserve to be there, and you trust in that whole thing. And now I'm a fan of several of those singers. Right? Go ahead,
Kevin.
So. I can start doing that. Yeah, that's true. Though it shows the pyramid of fame, pain as well. But anyway, the article that Empiricad had just put in PC Mag is very interesting. It says that online revenue has now overtaken print revenue for newspapers for the first time. I think that's definitely a milestone, and it backs up what Danny was saying. And most of that is ad revenue online.
Yeah, but the problem with Danny's argument is that he's making a case for the iPad, and he doesn't even realize it.
What was the case?
I read everything you write, and I read it on the iPad. Comes right through there in that little browser.
Yeah, but you're one of the 5% right now. You're one of the 5%.
Because it's on the web, exactly.
5%.
It doesn't make the case for the iPad. It makes the case for the web.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Because I don't have an iPad app.
It works just fine. I mean, the way Steve Jobs grew his company into the most valuable company on Earth, or close to it, is by having a so-called open web channel in the middle of his wrapper, which is iOS.
But that's what I'm saying. Steve, here we are in the middle of the iPad revolution, and I'm running an editorial website that is profitable and gets all of 1.5% of his traffic from the iPad without having even an iPad app or an iPad subscription or any of the iPad stuff.
So what that tells me is that you haven't...
What that's telling me is either I'm missing the revolution or the revolution isn't that big a deal as much as you can hear it made out to be.
Okay, so I would disagree that it's not a big deal, because when a company vaults from being a niche player of too expensive products to one which is less expensive than its competition with more features and more capabilities.
I'm talking in terms of being a big deal as a publishing revolution.
It's completely changing what is going to work in publishing. The fact that it is only just now beginning... I'm not going to suggest to you that you're clueless about this. What I am going to suggest to you is that you have not yet figured out, and I'm sure there are a lot of other people who haven't figured out, how to monetize that trivial percentage of your audience.
Not only that, but Steve, go back to 1998.
Ironically and sarcastically, by the way.
Go back to 1998, and Google was only providing a minuscule 4% of my traffic to my blog or my website back then for NetMeeting.
But search was not.
But search was not. But what's going on is already in a year, 5% has moved over to your iPad. Let's take it 10 years forward. It's going to be a majority. The tablet is a superior way to read news.
The tablet is awesome. I love reading it. I love seeing the new applications that are coming in. And I keep thinking I need to spend more time using the application to gather up content that I should be reading. But
so today's 5%. Tomorrow it's going to be, you know, in a year it's going to be 10%. And in another year it's
like
going to be
email.
20%
somebody,
or 40%.
Somebody had mentioned me a couple days ago.
But that does not mean that I suddenly have an application that generates the majority of my revenue.
No, but this is where the innovator's dilemma comes in, right? The innovator's dilemma is you're paying attention to what's making you money today, and you're not paying attention to what's going to make you money tomorrow.
Well, that's an overstatement.
No, I disagree. And in fact, I think that part of the dilemma that you're going to run into when you look at things like The Daily is that they put so many of their chips into this is going to be our future that they're going to screw themselves.
Well,
The Daily's going all paid. I don't even know who's taking The Daily right now.
It wasn't worth it when it was free.
Was I supposed to do it? Because it was all written for it or whatever?
No. I mean, the first cars were not hits. You know, it takes a while for the talent to bubble to the surface. In the same way that people like you and Arrington and others bubble to the surface of the web model, there's going to be people that are going to bubble to the surface of this model. And it is incredibly more targeted
than the web. I guess the problem I have with the iPad and the future that it's supposed to bring to publishing is that we keep looking at the dinosaurs that couldn't understand how the web impacted them in the first place and have failed to actually understand the web and make money off of that. And now that they are these dinosaurs, the few that are remaining, that are falling over more and everything else, then they're seizing upon this other thing as, aha, well, that's going to do it for us. Thank goodness it's arrived. And it's like, you know what? The mammals that made it through the whole asteroid that hit us when it was the web, they're going to keep running along. And if you've been banking on the iPad that's going to be your rescue thing that Steve Jobs has just talked your way and that's going to do it, I don't think you understand digital media. And I think that you've frittered away 15 years of time to really understand digital media.
But
my God, did you read the article from what's his name from Kelleher from the New York Times? When he had his little fisticuffs with Arianna Huffington and he's all like, oh, all they do is copy our stuff and all they take our stuff. Well, you know
it's
what,
so pathetic.
Dude? Blog your own stuff. If you write a big giant article, that's five different blog posts that you ought to be putting out without having to wait for Ariane and her crew to put it together.
Okay, but you're making an argument.
Stuff as well. What?
Anyway,
Danny, hang on a second, Robert.
Right.
Danny, you're making an argument based on the losers of the previous generation and how they are, and how they're not
the ones that win off the new generation.
It is mind-numbingly obvious to me, and probably you, that the success of TechCrunch and similar efforts like your own and like the previous version of your own, which was then stolen from you because you hadn't quite worked out the business model yet. And who knows whether you've worked it out now. I mean, you're making money, but you could be making New York Times money, maybe.
Steve, my business model has been great.
I'm not criticizing you, Danny. I'm arguing with you.
I've been making money off the web since I started publishing on the web.
You can say what you want to, but I'm telling you that from my perspective, the iPad is a dominant form of media which is going to swamp all of print. Gone. Print is gone.
The web has already been doing the work for the past 15 years. Because I can hold up four different screens that I have that have things from the internet. The web has already been killing print media. We know that.
No. The web has not killed print media. The web hasn't killed the New York Times. The New York Times has not been killed. I'm telling you, I don't see. To Kevin's point, there are publications around the world which now have essentially a level playing field. You have the Guardian. You've got the New York Times.
The local monopoly is gone.
That's right. The doorway, the entry point for being a credible publisher is wide open. It does not mean that the cost of providing on the ground reporting from a war zone where four people were captured, and we don't even know if I haven't heard whether the New York Times reporters and photographers have been found or released. I don't know what happened with them. There is an investment that of credibility and of an editorial standard that it's not the only voice, and frequently as they are in the death spiral of trying to cope with the digital revolution, that they have failed and become very shrill about attacking, the so-called new media. All that stuff is bullshit. The fact is that the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, God help us, the fact that it's a conservative, publication, which I'm frequently, horrified by what their conclusions are and the level with which Murdoch and others have been able to support politically not acceptable to me issues. Nonetheless, they have tremendous credibility, and they have not only not disappeared, but they're beginning to prosper, and they are going to prosper on this platform. The web may have been part of the transition to this platform, but this platform is one which is going to have tremendous power at consolidating both of those models. And that's something important.
And here's why. Danny, let me in here. This is why. With your paper, you only have one brand. With the web or with iPad, you have multiple brands. Here we have Al Jazeera, we have Reuters, we have TOI Indian News, we have Politico, we have CNN Money, all on one page. And that the paper does not do. And I agree with Steve, the web does, but to get it in this beautiful format, which is readable, is very, very difficult on the web.
Why don't you just declare victory and call this the web? Because you'd be mostly right.
I've been saying that, Steve. Okay. What I'm saying to you is not, I didn't say that it wasn't the web. What I'm saying to you is...
That's not a website hawking, like I remember in 1998.
You're hawking this idea that, when you started out, that, oh my goodness, the New York Times, they're going to have an app, and the app is going to be great, and they're going to get all their money, because everyone's going to take their app.
I never said all their money. I said it was going to be an incremental found money situation. We started talking about their alleged mistake, just like last week we started talking about Twitter's alleged mistake at poisoning their third-party developer relationships, which would have to... the idea of poisoning, the vibe in hell, their third party relationships have been horrible from the beginning. So you were on vacation. You didn't see the show.
This week I'm saying
that the New York Times paywall model, whatever it is that they're doing with this, I think has got a good chance of working. It's not going to disembowel their, it's going to intercept and damage their page view model, which they're not making any money on particularly, and it is going to create a social model around this so-called freeway in, which is going to lead to a very valuable audience that they're going to structure and pull in, which they're then going to make a lot of money with. And I think it's a smart move. I disagree that it's a stupid move. I disagree with the notion that these publishers are forever trapped in this either-or scenario, which is either you go free and just throw it out there and it's all going to be good, or you shut everybody down.
I disagree. It's either or also.
You can do both.
I just think they put together a paywall that is designed for getting money from idiots.
Well, that's it. That's fine.
And I mean, that'll be fine because maybe that's the way they'll work.
They're moving people over.
Strategy, isn't it?
An audience needs to grow and learn. You know, the things that you get for free when you're in college. When you get out of college,
Steve, that paywall is
you
not
start
going to
paying
prevent
for
any,
things.
That paywall will not prevent anybody from who's already getting New York Times.
I agree with you. That's the genius of it, as far as I'm concerned. If they maintain an authoritative, influential pipeline of their product, which I believe they do through the Facebook and Twitter gateway, they are going to get 70-80% of the value of the so-called web model. And they're going to also make some money on the side, and they're going to have an authoritative audience that they understand and that they have relationships with, a la Apple and the credit card that people plug in. Right? That's what they're doing. It's a honeypot for the most valuable part of their audience. So if you say that most valuable part of them
it's
are idiots,
it's not a honeypot when you're
just
giving people what they've already gotten. There's no honeypot there.
I went to the New York Times has had RSS feeds since Dave Weiner made a deal with them about six, seven years ago. Remember? I've had them. I even brought them over to my iPad because the iPad app, if you miss a day, because you can't pay for it, and because they don't enable the ability to be able to store it like you do a print newspaper.
Well, you don't
newspaper.
Need it, because at that point it would be 9 hours old anyway, so what use is it to read yesterday's New York Times?
Okay, let me know when you get over your, you know.
Breaking news, Eric Schmidt might be the Commerce Secretary, says VentureBeat.
God help Google if that happens. Seriously, it'd be like the worst thing that happens for Google and Obama. It really, really will be terrible for them.
Well, that's what Venture Beat just reported.
I couldn't agree more with that assessment.
And I saw that in my Twitter stream. Not
I
New
saw
York
Business
Times.
Insider say it earlier too, but nobody really seemed to be citing anything specific about it. So and we had that before. So maybe it's getting closer. I just be
so. This is a perfect example of how this model will work for the New York Times, which is they are keeping themselves in the stream that is most authoritative and most useful. And I don't care how many hours after something appears, if I notice it because somebody who I respect tweets it and it comes through my stream or particularly in an at mention where it shows up
notification. You're absolutely right. If you can find a way to establish yourself as a major brand that people trust and turn to when they're looking for news, you're probably well on the way for a very big success.
Well,
and that brand is called the Huffington Post, which should not
have existed. No, you're looking at yourself.
Which should not exist right now if the dinosaurs that are the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times had their stuff together. Okay? But they didn't. They were late to the party in figuring out that they had more than a local audience.
No, they had more to lose.
And that they could do things beyond
Scoble,
whatever it was that they reported.
It's the innovator's dilemma. It's the chasm that it is difficult to cross this chasm. Do you really think that Microsoft was unaware of the attacks that were going to come from, parties yet to be created?
We don't need the whole innovator's dilemma because you also have innovators who manage to innovate, i.e. Apple, right? They didn't just sit there and go, oh, my God, we can only make computers. That's it.
Well, this,
we've only can make Macs.
This is stunning that you're using my support of Apple against me. I totally agree with what you just said.
Need to have that. Why do they get off on you screwed up figuring out where your industry was going, but that's innovator's dilemma. Therefore, it was predestined that that would happen. You don't get excused for that. I came out of the newspaper industry. The reason
there's nobody in the newspaper business who's figured it out. Nobody.
The reason I'm doing what I'm doing right now is because I was sitting in a room at the Orange County Register watching them debate whether or not they should go on to AOL, CompuServe, or Prodigy. And I can remember thinking, I gotta get the hell out of here. Because none of those things are gonna take off. The web's gonna take off.
Do you have an intern working for you going right now? This Danny guy is old and slow. You know, the future is the iPad. I'm going to go build something cool for the iPad and just focus on that. And as it gets bigger and bigger, my career will take off.
What's that?
Is there some?
Are you a dinosaur, Danny?
Are you a dinosaur? The same way the registered staff was a dinosaur.
I'm not saying don't do stuff for the iPad. I'm not saying that the iPad isn't changing things or that there's not. I'm just saying, let's get a little perspective. Because what I see the most of are older publishers who didn't get the web, who now are supposedly being held up as getting the iPad.
I'm not looking towards them.
I'm not looking towards them to figure out what the future is going to be. They couldn't figure out the future for the past 15 years.
Yeah.
They're barely hanging on to it. Why would everybody who's on
this show and who watches it either live or on YouTube or on TechCrunch TV, they pretty much understand what we're talking about here. So I don't know. Are we getting back to a discussion about average people again? The news media has been in a death spiral because the internet has disabled their ability to control the flow of information, to the point where you can get information from any source. That does not mean that as people start to use it, that the incumbents are somehow shut out from using that same capability.
No, they're not. But what's one of the leading sources of online news right now?
Online news?
Oh, Steve, it doesn't matter whether it's credible or not. What's
well,
one of the
I,
leading,
I value credibility.
But that's great for you.
Okay, what's
the
answer?
I'm asking you, if people are turning online to try to get online news, what is one of the leading sources that they turn to right now?
I'll tell you what's being disrupted right now is the cable networks. Fine.
And
The cable networks are being disrupted by the iPad, big time. The coverage of both Japan and Libya has been incredibly ignorant. Two major cable networks, CNN and MSNBC. If you watch these guys, people who used to have some degree of credibility, like Chris Matthews, for example, they come up with some sort of snap judgment. They say it, and then they repeat it, and then they get some other guy who's a retired military officer to support them. They go back and forth. And meanwhile, nobody cares. They're on their iPad. They've moved on. The New York Times has far more credible information on a daily basis than any of the cable networks and most of the broadcast networks.
Oh, sure. They're all terrible, yeah.
Okay. So that's a huge market. And the fact that, we went from watching the nightly news, which we still do sort of as a referendum on how did major media screw this up today, right, to a vehicle where you can pull it down in real time or you can pull it down on demand, at which point you stop watching the television altogether until the television respects this device, at which point you push it back up to the big screen, and the revolution has been taken. That's going on right now. It's a really big deal, and every assessment of the number of these devices that are going to be sold has outperformed by a factor of anywhere from 2 to 5 the projections. You can't get this device now unless you wait for 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, is that just marketing on Apple's part? Maybe a little.
No, there's a lot of people buying it. They're great devices. I own two of them now.
Mm-hmm. And you don't think that that's going to have an impact on the business models of people who are publishing information?
I think it's going to cause more people to. I think it's going to cause more people to read content that's on the web. I think it's going to cause more major. I think it's going to cause more major brands to find that they may be able to pick up some incremental income by offering subscriptions through applications, because it's convenient to have all that stuff there and have it downloaded if it goes very fast and you can use it.
The social networks are going to take over from the broadcast networks.
Social networks perhaps have already taken over and have nothing to do with the iPad.
I agree. We're violently in agreement here. The vehicle
but
for
I didn't
that,
need the iPad for that to do. I needed the web. I already had the web.
But now the movement is going to be toward this device.
It's going to be perhaps toward Slate devices, tablet devices.
And devices like them.
Totally
yeah, no,
not.
And, phones too.
I completely disagree.
I don't.
That's the 2012, late 2012 Windows scenario.
I would completely disagree if you think that we're in a future where we only are going to be using the iPads.
I didn't say that. I said that it's going to be the dominant device. This is going to be the dominant mechanism for the kind of people who used to watch cable television. iPad. What's a tablet? You mean there's going to be a Windows tablet?
Like an Android tablet.
Please.
Forrester Research just put out a paper.
They could never produce anything that rival like the iPhone, like an Android phone would do.
Go ahead, John.
Oh, wait a minute.
That's all right.
What is more better than the iPhones now?
Hey, Danny.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
Danny, take a drink while John gives some facts. Wait a second, Robert. Go ahead, John.
I just want to hang here with my mouth open for a little bit.
Forrester.
Yesterday, I think Forrester Research put out a why the iPad is a better choice. And actually, it was worded as why the other competitors to the iPad have flawed strategies. And it went through all the list in a very, actually for Forrester, a very rational fashion. And they just said Motorola basically is squandering its momentum and its opportunity by trying to do, you know, to go too much into the Verizon camp. It said Samsung and Dell are too early, and it released a non-aesthetically pleasing device. You know, it went down through a whole list of each vendor's strategy, and then it went through its customer research, and it asked maybe 1,000 people the question, and what would you choose? And it was predominantly Apple. Second on the, you know, there's a bunch of other things set, you know, secondarily on the list, but it went through each feature, battery life and things like that and what they like. And, then it went into a, you know, the conclusion, which basically said that Apple, you know, since it controls a lot of the distribution for the hardware, it can keep its costs lower than the competitors. Its strategy is, therefore by far, ahead. So it took customer research, its subjective opinion, and also just facts of manufacturing, supply chain facts, and put them together in one report.
75% of the market. 75% right now.
Yeah.
It's going to stay there, too.
For as long as it...
As long as it takes for them to squeegee Windows into it in late 2012?
No. I mean, iPad's going to maintain that share as long as they maintain that share with the iPhone?
Say again?
No,
I do not get where we take Android tablets, which are in their first generation, put them up against the iPad, which is still really its first generation, but at least it's a year old, and then say it's all done for the iPad. Why would you not say that should have been true for the iPhone?
Because Apple
the
environment
not managed to hold its lead in the same way.
Because
Apple environment
leverage.
Is not just about the hardware. It's not just about the operating system. It's about the App Exchange or the App Store, whatever it's called.
But that's
and it's about
the
number of credit
the
cards
iPhones?
That they have. Go ahead, Robert.
Steve and Danny, you're missing what Google had. Google had leverage over carriers. Once they convinced, you know, carriers to put their phones on the shelf, that was going to provide sales. They do not have that leverage in the tablet market. There's no way to force somebody to distribute, to get the tablet into my hands. And that's the huge chicken and egg problem.
distribute phones. That makes no sense.
What, yeah. Because there were a lot of people who wanted Verizon and wanted a touch phone like the iPhone, but didn't like AT&T. And both
so they
Steve
had
and I
leverage
have Verizon.
Over Verizon. Phones, they didn't have leverage over AT&T.
This is but where we're at. Robert...
They got into Verizon. They got a lot of people to buy it. Dave Weiner bought an Android phone when it shipped on Verizon because we all hated AT&T so much. I have a Verizon phone now. I have Android. I have like four Android phones because I kept trying them on Verizon because I hated AT&T so much.
Sure.
But now that is gone, it's not a big deal. But they had leverage to get into the market. They don't have that on tablets. Explain to me how you're going to get people to buy these
tablets. They don't have them on tablets because the tablet price is not subsidized by the contract, the
Bingo.
Service contract.
Oh, I could give you a couple reasons why.
Well, some of them can
well.
Be.
But. No,
okay,
but it's
all,
not.
Okay,
it's,
explain
first
it to
all,
me because I,
you might get
cheaper.
It's
the bottom of the market, as Scoble pointed out.
No.
Like
Danny,
what?
All right, hang on.
Android
Danny,
tablet, but they
Danny,
play
Danny,
Danny start over.
You have to start over. You were talking over us, so we couldn't hear you. So why don't you start again?
You guys are talking over me.
Yeah, exactly. So say it again.
Give us the reasons why you're going to buy a tablet, a Google tablet.
No, say what you were going to say.
Because I need it for work.
No. No, but right now
I'd buy an iPad.
Robert, I'm going to...
It's so nice. But the reasons why somebody might in the future buy it, for one, potentially they could get cheaper, although I've seen the arguments that iPad has everything wrapped up with all their supplies and that'll never change. Two,
they got Samsung
I might want to play
down.
Club Penguin on it,
what?
Which I can't do on the iPad.
What?
I might actually want to go to some other websites that... You know, still just kind of like want to use Flash no matter what Steve Jobs has to say, and I might prefer that kind of option that goes out there.
Boy,
maybe I get it as a bundle through my carrier because people may want to buy it that's already bundled up with some sorts of things. Maybe I might actually prefer the Android operating system on a tablet in some ways. I mean,
how you sell a million of them. But
what you're suggesting is, the only reason people bought Android phones rather than the iPhone was because they simply refused to buy anything from AT&T. Even at AT&T, where people there are people who actually went to AT&T and bought Android phones on AT&T, where that makes no sense, right? Because why would you buy an Android phone on AT&T if the reason to not buy the iPhone is just – sorry. You know, you said, well, people bought Android phones because they wanted to be on Verizon. Okay. Who were the people buying Android phones on AT&T? Because they deliberately chose to use a horrible network and then apparently chose to use an inferior, you know, phone operating system.
Well,
because of other choices like keyboards and stuff.
Okay. So they had other choices.
Right.
Well,
yeah, but that hasn't shown up in the tablet world. The tablet world is a flat.
Is all of 3 months old? 6 months old? I mean, all I'm
saying
is,
to $140 tablets being sold through
QVC. It seems very.
They're there. See them because they're not as cool as the ones you're buying. But it's
I've seen the Arcoses and the Asuses. They're okay.
To declare that it's all done. I would have thought, looking at the smartphones, looking at the popularity of the iPhone, I could have rolled with that. Like, wow, who's really going to stall Apple now?
They're
like this machine that's going to pull everything. And then yet, Android not only came up as a rival, but has come up now as a rival that's bigger. So I don't know if they'll be able to pull that
bigger
off again
in terms of
tablets,
what?
But I just find it kind of surprising.
In terms of revenue and market share, not necessarily in profit.
Revenue? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, no, revenue. Not.
Android is not bigger in terms of revenue.
No.
No.
A phone sold, not of the applications built on it.
Mobile money that Google makes off of
the entire environment. Apple's taking down, 60% of all the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nascent market. It's coming around. I mean, the tablets have been around for a long time.
Remember, the iPhone is a small iPad.
Yeah.
That's how it was invented. The iPad was invented first, and then they decided that it was too early and that they couldn't get enough of them out there to be able to justify it. So they re-engineered it as a small device and released it as the iPhone.
And Android is a small iPhone.
Well, Android is whatever Android is at this point, they have tremendous economies of scale around their business model, which is search, which you know more about than anybody.
But, and ad impressions.
Yeah. Well, in theory, but the concept of ad impressions or ad engagement, which is becoming primary, they do not have a monopoly or anything close to it. So.
Wait, who? Apple?
No, Google.
Google has 90% of the mobile ad share.
Yeah, they, yeah.
Ad engagement. Ad engagement.
Well, yeah, I don't know if 90%.
It's watching watching American Idol for 2 hours and thinking that you're not looking at the ads. You're that's all you're doing is looking at an ad. It's an ad for the record business, and it's pathetic, but it is an ad and it works, and there's a lot of money there. So, you know, the iPad is a dominant market share. My point is not that this is all over, but that for the foreseeable future, at least right now, I don't see how they lose more than 10% of their market share globally over the next couple of years.
I don't know about that. That's the point. Apple will pick some particular points in this thing, and I would argue that the iPod Touch is in the same market. And they've picked two sweet spots in that market, the little tiny pocket one and the big flat one that you have to lift your knees up to rest it on, and built very, very good examples of those. But the Android ones will make things that look like those, and little bigger ones and smaller ones, and different shaped ones and a bunch of other stuff. And a lot of them will fail, a lot of them will be crap, and a lot of them will work, and we'll end up with lots of them being sold. I pointed to a 7-inch, $140 tablet that's being sold.
If you
QVC.
Took that logic, then Bing would have overtaken, or would be close to overtaking Google, which they're
no,
totally
it's very,
not.
It's a very different thing.
I don't see it as different
because there's not because Bing isn't
Google. Once Google gets bigger because they're big. Google maintains their share because people. It's Kleenex. It's the thing. Yeah. The iPhone is the thing. Everybody else
they maintain their share by running
following.
Very hard to keep up as well.
What?
What's that?
They maintain this. The Bing has done a good job of matching Google search in a lot of realm.
What's the share
you
of the market?
You guys are trying to keep me on, but I've got to go.
I'm trying to wrap it up.
Now you're talking
but
search.
Why are you
I'm like, I wish I don't have to.
It's a completely different thing. I'm talking about hardware here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Search isn't hard.
We'll do this next
that.
Time. All right. Once around the table, we'll start with Danny since he's in such a rush.
My iPad is awesome, and it's got this thing, and I can open it up, and you can see. And I love the iPad.
Yeah, that was a Twitter app that when you opened it up.
Yeah, but it's an official Twitter app, so
you rest my case.
Anybody uses these days. It's all good. I'd wrap it up by saying I don't know. I like my iPad too. In spite of everything I've said.
I would just say that I like the web, too.
I'll wrap it up in two things. Here I am, somebody who actually loves reading stuff online, and all I can think is I need to spend more time figuring out which apps I should do to get everything to load it up on the iPad. So, the revolution is still taking some time to figure out to reach people like me. But then I'm also, one of those people you shouldn't judge on because I'm online all day and at the end of the day, I just want to sit down with my old newspaper, a glass of scotch, a cigarette, and, watch the moon go down.
Okay.
With a dog on my feet. Except it's a guinea pig. I'm really tired now. Sorry.
John Tasha.
GarageBand. It's a reason to buy the iPad, too. I think the web, I'm one of the type of people that I read almost all the news on the web, and I don't want to have it looking like what the publisher makes it look like. I'm the kind of guy who likes readability and just pure text, because that's the way I process news. And if there's some pictures, I'll go to another site that has pictures. I don't need this shiny, glossy flipboard type stuff that comes out that Robert says is aesthetically beautiful, because I don't care about it. I just want the information. I want it fast. I want charts. I want data. I mean, that's the kind of way I process information. And I don't care. There's no app for that. It's the web. And the web is where I go for my news. That said, the iPad 2 is fantastic. because it's apps like GarageBand, completely separate type of thing. And it shows that the iPad 2, it shows that the iPad in general is a more than just a consumption device. It's a creativity device also. And, it's not good for, I can't possibly write my blog posts on it or do a lot of things on it that, that other people can by finagling around. I prefer a computer for that. But it's getting to that point, and that's the tipping point where it is the one device you carry around. If you had to go to a desert island, what would you carry around? Four computers and eight screens and four mobile devices or one iPad? You know, it's eventually going to be
and
that
iPad.
And your
pig.
And my pig, yeah. Yes. Yeah, the Lord of the Flies. Yeah. Good reference there.
Well, they're handy because you can if you get hungry, you can eat them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Scoble.
The iPad is going to own this market for this next year. I don't know that I agree with Steve that they'll own it for 2 years, but we'll see next year what happens.
Apple will own it for a long
time. Yeah, I'm not willing to take that bet. In fact, the best bleeding edge developers like Feedly was here yesterday showing me their new app. They're betting on HTML5 with a little wrapper for the native app. So they've written 10% or 15%.
I couldn't agree more. At that point, guess what? It's the web. The web.
And so they're
the web and the iPad go like this, and then who wins?
They're going to ship on both Android and iPad and iPhone and Android phones all at one time. I know you don't care. I don't really care.
I think that's smart.
But
it's good.
I don't think the market cares this year, but they're a developer and they need to prepare for the future for whatever happens. And that's a smart business decision.
It's a smart business decision for a developer to have an HTML5 strategy. That is different than who is going to dominate, in terms of devices and in terms of transformative operating systems. Kevin?
I think, iPads are nice, but so are the phones and the other devices we're using now. And I do most of my reading on this thing now, which I didn't expect to do. And that's, I bought this thing as a phone and a web browser, and I now find I'm reading more stuff in here than I do on the laptop.
What is that?
Just the Droid. It's a Droid.
Oh.
It's a nice phone.
It's a nice, it's got a lot of the, it runs the Kindle, it runs all the stuff that you like about it. It does my notification stuff too. It's a usable thing. And maybe if it was a little bit bigger and had more pixels, I'd use it more, but it still fits in my pocket. So I'm not convinced that, yes, the iPad's form factor is nice. It does a lot of interesting things. There's some very cool stuff it does, but I don't think it's going to devour the entire phone, laptop.
No, I would agree with you. It already has. It's not going to. It has.
Yeah, I think it has.
Oh, totally. Go ask Steve Ballmer what he's going to be doing next year.
By the way, one rumor.
Web apps, Ross. I think that's right.
What? One rumor I did hear at the South By thing is Microsoft will have a tablet by the end of the year.
Well,
didn't they launch by 99, Robert? I remember
according
hearing
to the Wall Street Journal, which I happen to have read on some unnamed device, they say late 2012. But I suspect that if Microsoft doesn't get in it, the only problem with getting in it sooner is that they will lose quicker, which is going to be really bad news for them. As long as they can, keep hope alive. all right. So my final comment is that I got a Verizon iPhone 4, and last night I found out that within 30 minutes of calling Verizon, I can get my number moved over and my AT&T line automatically canceled. So guess what I'm doing?
I got a Thunderbolt last night on Verizon, and it's blazing fast.
I'm telling you, I hate to admit it, but it's night and day. But the combination of the iPhone 4 and on Verizon and this iPad on AT&T, just for compatibility's sake, is hard to beat. This is Steve Gilmore. I want to thank Rackspace and particularly Rob Legess for their support in returning this show to the web. and TriCaster New Tech for their incredible devices that are changing the way television works and integrating it with the web. And I want to thank our director and producer, Tina Chase Gilmore. I want to thank John Toshek, Danny Sullivan, Robert Scoble, and Kevin Marks. I want to thank everybody who showed up, and especially those who will be showing up on the iPad 2 now this Blue Yell has gotten there together. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Excellent.
Now I get to load up my iPad. Yeah!